Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us at Grace Chapel. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
There is no rock, there is no God like our God. No other name worthy of all our praise. The rock of salvation. Proving himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God like ours. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages. There is no God like our God. No other name worthy of all our praise. The rock of salvation that cannot be moved. Proving himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God like ours. Rock of ages.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything this past week. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come together to share your word, to fellowship, to strengthen ourselves and renew ourselves for another week, if you allow it to us. And Lord, open our hearts and open our minds so that we may receive what you have for us today. And we thank you for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is peace, there is love, there is joy. It is forever, he set us free. the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is peace.
Forevermore is faithfulness, sin has no end.
Praise the Lord. Oh, what a week. Everybody have a great week. Everything went perfect. Yeah, not so much. But praise God, His love does endure. And so does His grace and His mercy and His peace. Amen. I think I'm going to start with the hard stuff. Go over to Matthew 4. I'm going to start at 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. There's a few things in this that we should take to heart. How many times do we allow him to tempt us every week? To take us and try to turn us away from the Lord. How many times every day do we allow his influence to try to change us, to try to lead us astray, to try to pull your faith away from the Lord? One of the things that just amazes me down at the end in 10 and in 9, that Satan said, "All these he would give if Jesus would bow down and worship him." If you notice in there, Jesus did not deny that all that Satan showed him was not under Satan's control, was not a part of his domain. Nowhere in there does he call Satan a liar or tell him that that statement is false. We were made to worship the Lord our God. We were made to worship Jesus Christ and all that He is and do all that He said. But yet, how many times do we allow the tempter to try to pull us away? There's been many times this week for myself that things or circumstances or my own mind try to pull me away, and I have to take time and I have to stop. And I have to pray. And it tells us that we should pray continually. He's there. He's waiting. He will forgive you. He will give you His grace and His peace and His mercy if you will just come to Him. Such a simple thing. It's so quick and it's so easy. Yet how many times do we have to fight just to get there? Just to get us to the point where we will turn back to Him and say, "Forgive me." How many times have you turned back to your brothers and sisters in the Lord and asked them to forgive you when you've done something that you know you shouldn't have? It's so easy to get pulled away. And this flesh does everything it can to accomplish that. But there are means by which we can win. And that's through prayer. I'd invite people to, let's see. Nah, we'll go over it. There's a lot of people who are trying to reach out at home, trying to reach out to their loved ones, trying to bring their loved ones to the knowledge of Christ, or their friends. And it took me a long time to realize that no matter what I said to those people who had known me the longest, that the only way I could show them Jesus was by a change in my actions, a change in my words, Because telling them about Jesus, the only thing they see you from is from your past, from when they knew you before. Now, Jesus ran into this. If we go over to Matthew 13, starting at 54. And when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then has this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house." When you're trying to minister to family and friends who have known you for your entire life or years, you need to remember this. Even Jesus was basically rejected where he had grown up, where people had known him all his life. And you expect something different for you? In front of the very people that you did all the rotten, dirty, underhanded, lying, and everything else to? You expect something different for you? It took me quite a while when I was trying to deal with my children and some of my family members until I realized what it was actually saying here. How that it wasn't just Jesus, it's each one of us individually. As we try to go and minister to those who are closest to us. If you want to minister to those closest to you, don't try to use words. Use your actions. Show them your change since the Lord has done for you what he has. If they ask, give them your testimony of what he's done for you. They are going to notice a change. They're going to see something different about you. When they ask, they may reject it. But that's okay. You may have opened the door for the first time in their lives. And it may not be your word that brings them to the Lord. It may be somebody else further down the line. But you're going to be an example that the Lord can make a change. And if nothing else, that'll stick in the back of their mind. And one day, maybe somebody else that they don't know prays with them for a reason. And they receive. And what a great thing that will be. The biggest hang up most people have is they get depressed because they try to do this thing to show their family and their friends what a great God Jesus Christ is and how much he's done for them. And they get their feelings hurt. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about him who hung on the cross for our sins, who shed his blood so that we had the opportunity and the chance to go to heaven if we will believe in him and on him. That's his promise. So don't take offense. Allow the Holy Spirit to do His work by them seeing your actions, by seeing a change in you, by seeing who you have become. Praise God. Praise Jesus Christ that we have the ability and the opportunity that He gives us each and every day to show the world through our actions that we have changed. Amen.
Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Yeah, what Bob's talking about is something that we all face, whether it be family members, friends, you know, folks in our local communities. The only way for these people to see Christ is that we walk as Christ. And that the Spirit draw them. That the Spirit draw them. So we got to call in an airstrike. We got to call in support. We got to seek Christ on their behalf. We have to pray for them. Lord, I ask that You draw them unto You, that they might see Your light, that they might see Your freedom, that they be freed from the prison that they don't even know that they're in. Lord, give me the key that will unlock their heart that I can share with them. Yeah, you call in that airstrike, you got to soften that ground a little bit. That ground being their hearts. Because those hearts are hard. I know mine was. Mine still has some hard spots. You know, we talked about those murmurs coming out of our hearts there a few weeks ago. I mean, they're still there. But I'm working on them. I'm allowing Christ to work on them. And turn over to Luke chapter 11. We talk about prayer. Bob mentioned, you know, prayer never ceasing, unceasingly, or something to that effect. How? How are we supposed to pray? Well, Jesus' disciples asked Him. Luke 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He had ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And He said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive every one that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Okay, so we just have to repeat that however many times, and we got it. No? Oh, okay, so He's giving them a sample, an outline of a prayer. All right, Okay. So I think he's going to give them a little bit more details here. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. If your friend comes to you at night and is in need of something, you're saying you're not going to turn him away. You're going to give him that which you have need of. Amen? I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, I skip verse 10. Let's go back to 10. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You know, Nike has the great slogan. 3 words. Just do it. I think they came up with that in the 80s or whichever, you know, it was back then. I mean, you want to play basketball. We got the sneakers. Just do it. Yeah, I want to go for a run. Here's the sneakers. Just do it. Right? The Lord's telling us, you need something. Pray. Just do it. Just pray. It's what you need to do. All too often, that's not what we do. We try to do it ourselves. We try to figure this thing out. We look for this other solution. We're up, down, left, right. We're never at center. Let's change that. We talk about the kingdoms of this world. Bob read the verse where Satan brings Jesus up to the highest mountain or high mountain. And he says, look out all here, all these kingdoms of the world. Bow down, worship me, they're yours. They're yours. Right. Jesus doesn't argue with them. Yeah, they are yours. But, you know, I didn't want them. And you got people, you know, this is one of those election times in America. And you got people that are, you know, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, all this. They're looking to their leaders for change. You know, they recognize there's a problem in America. They recognize there's a problem in this world. But they look to Republicans, Democrats, you know, whichever, for the change. Why aren't they looking to Jesus? Why aren't they looking to Jesus? Maybe they don't know. Maybe it's that the folks that are out in the pulpits across America, across the world, they don't know. Maybe it's that the Lord has given the people leaders after their own hearts. They don't really want to follow God. They don't want to know Christ. But it doesn't have to be that way. Because see, if each and every one of us that's in this room, each and every one of us that's listening to this message, looks inside their own hearts, humbles themselves and prays, seeks the Lord for the change, He can move these people out of the way. He can free up the area where the work needs to be done. He can change how these communities look. He can change how states look. He can change how America looks. If you change the hearts and the minds of the people, that's the answer. See, it doesn't matter who gets elected. It doesn't matter who wins, who loses, who got the highest percent of the vote. What matters is what's in your heart. America likes to think that it's a Christian nation. It likes to believe in itself and think that it loves God. I ask you, does it? Does it? No. The answer's no. Can it? Yes. Yes, it can. We talk about a revival. There's going to be a revival across this land. We sing that song. We get all excited. We clappy clappy. We're hopping and waving our arms and all this. Yeah, it would be awesome if there were a revival. But you know what? If none of us just do it, it ain't going to happen. You need to sit back here and wait. Oh, yeah, when the revival goes by the road, I'll jump up and join. But, you know, I got some things to take care of here at home. But, yeah, when it comes around, I'll jump in. No! No! It took one man. His name was Elijah. He started a revival. He read the word of God and believed it. And he called out God on it and said, your word says, if the land looks like this, you're going to do that. And God said, yeah, you're right. And he did it. He just did it. Because it was a promise that he had made. See, Joshua bringing all the men into the promised land, and the women and children. He wasn't one man, but a body of people. A body of people of one mind, working together, focused on Jesus, doing precisely and exactly what needed to be done without fail. They did mighty things. Do you want to get into the promised land? Is that where you want to be? Do you want to cross over that River Jordan? Because the time is now. That revival is in your heart. Could be. Draw a circle around yourself. Get down on your knees. Pray for a revival. When the Lord answers that prayer, step out of the circle. The revival's on. If that's where you're at, how can the people around you fail to see it? How can the communities across this nation, across the world, fail to change? It's going to be ugly. Things might not go down exactly as you expect them to. But they're going to go down in accordance with the will of God. And if that's what you're about, you're going to be happy about that. Turn over to, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I ask you to vote today, to vote tomorrow, to vote the next day, to vote in November for Jesus Christ. Vote for Jesus Christ. Humble yourselves, pray, seek Him. Let's bring about some change.
Scripture verse I was going to read out of 1 John. I'm going to start with chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in it. You go back to the Garden of Eden. And when Satan came to Eve, he tempted her three things. They're in the next verse. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. When he tempted Eve, she saw that the fruit was pretty. The lust of the eyes. She was hungry. Lust of the flesh. That it was to be desired because it would make one wise to be as God. Pride of life. When Jesus was tempted, he was tempted the same way. First, with the lust of the flesh. If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. He was taken up to the temple. Cast yourself down. Prove that you're God. Pride of life. Show them all the kingdoms of the world. I'll give them to you. They're mine. I took them from Adam. Now they're mine. I can do with them what I want. I'll give them to you. Lust of the eyes. I think it's interesting, the next verse, in the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The natural man loves the world. Can't get around that. If there's a preacher in the pulpit or a deacon in a pew, or as I like to refer to him sometimes, as a Dickens in a pew, that claims that he loveth not the world, he's a liar. We all, everyone here and everyone out there in our flesh, loves the world. And we show it by the way we dress, by the way we go about in our vehicles, by the way we come to church. We come to church. Praise God, not in this church. But most people that go to church do not go to church dressed as they dress throughout the week. Have you noticed that? You'd think in most churches everybody was a banker. Or a lawyer. Neither one could be trusted. Who the hell would want to look like them anyway? Steve tries, so we'll kind of trust him. We'll let him slide on the good side, huh? But if they love not the world, why do they try to impress people with the things of the world? Bob was mentioning earlier about people getting their feelings hurt when they minister to people. You know why you get your feelings hurt? Because you love the world. If you're ministering to somebody and they reject you and you get your feelings hurt, you weren't ministering to serve God. You were ministering to serve yourself. If they reject you, so what? If you're speaking that which is true, what's it to you if they reject what you say? Not you, they're rejecting anyway. What you're saying is of you, and you reject it, then good. You should be. But if what you're saying is of God, and you reject it, then don't sweat it. Don't give it a second thought. God's the one you're going to have to contend with, not you. See, the hard thing is to get your heart in that spot where you prefer the things of God. And this isn't a one-time thing. It's not something you do one time. There I am. Wow. Cool. Everything's great now. It's something you do continuously, every waking moment. It's something you start when you get up, which most of us don't. Gotta have our coffee first. Lust of the flesh. whatever else there may be. But we need to be in that place where we start off every day rejecting the love of the world and embracing the love of God. When we embrace the love of God to serve Him, it's no longer about us. So when you say something to someone and they come back with a bad attitude, you don't have to return it with a bad attitude. You know, and I found out an amazing thing years ago. Because in my youth, I would get mad. I would get very mad if people didn't believe what I said. Then I found out something. when I was operating in the Spirit of the Lord and in within the kingdom of God, I didn't get mad at people that disagreed with me. I felt sorry for them. If you're operating in the flesh, you're going to get mad. If you're operating in the Spirit, you have compassion. You pity them because they don't understand. Do you hear me? You hear what I'm saying? Now comes somebody doesn't say amen. Boy, that was pitiful. When we seek the Lord, we seek Him with a faith that we have to have faith to believe we have. We receive God, we receive Jesus, He gives us His faith. And we have to take our little puny faith and believe Him that we have it. And when we do that, then literally all things are possible. Which brings us to the second half. That if you're operating in the kingdom of God, your words will be of God. But your life and your actions and your love and your compassion for others will also be of God. And that's what backs up the word. It can take years of compassion to knock the crust off someone who has been in the world and loved the world. And yet it only takes one moment of anger and selfishness to undo years of labor. Think of that. You can minister in love and you can walk in love for years and destroy it all in seconds with one act of anger. How important is it to keep ourselves under ourselves? Amen. Now let's sing the song.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah. souls of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with song.
Mercy seat of God.
table of the Lord. He says, come just as you are to his table.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for taking care of those who are out on the road. And we ask that you watch over them. And we ask that you watch over us as we go out. As we go in the world. As we confront those closest in our lives, Lord. Be with us. And we thank you for being with us and for showing us and for teaching us, Lord. We praise you with all that we have. And we love you, Lord. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai, age to age, all still the same, by the power of the name. El Shaddai, Ekom Kona Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your love and through the ram, you saved the son of Abraham. By the power of your hand, turn the sea into dry land. To the outcast enemies, you were the God who really sees. set your children free. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kohen Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through the years you made it clear that the time of Christ was near. Though the people failed to see what Messiah ought to be,
listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the Donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.